This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I need advice. I don't know who I am tonight. Give me something to think about on this long drive. Is it supposed to feel this empty all the fucking time? How do I get this off of my mind?
You okay, bud? Hey,
what
bud.
Should I do about this thing I'm going through? I can always count on you to tell the truth. All these difficult things feel so much easier with you. I just wanna know what you would do. If I were you, if I were you.
Great. I mean, yeah, that was awesome. You're okay. You're okay. You're okay. That really, yeah, that made me feel some type of way. It put me in a mood. It chillaxed my attitude, actually.
It's like it was Bright Eyes style, Connor Oberst.
Yeah.
These things take like, forever. I'll just have to wait and see.
Wait and see. Yeah, it's like that song deserves to not be a podcast intro. That's a standalone. It's rare that we get a standalone song. That's a standalone song, our podcast aside. Honored to be mentioned, honestly.
It was by a guy from Ireland. That's why it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. The Irish. They have that umber in their voice. I really love it.
I think you have to have the soul of someone that just sort of exists in a cloudy, dreary atmosphere, but all the time, mm-hmm. to the point where it makes your sort of heart pure.
A constant mist. That's what you need.
A guy from San Diego can't just, like, Blink 182 is from San Diego. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't, like, you don't have sunny days and then write that.
Right. No. The sunny days are, it'd be nice to have a blowjob from your mom. That's the Blink attitude. And there's room in my heart for both. I'll say that.
Yeah. Everybody's a little bit Ireland and a little bit San Diego, but
that's why we should all be living in Kansas City.
Who's the happiest musician from Ireland? That also doesn't happen. I guess Dropkick Murphys.
Bono?
Yeah.
Bono, but just because he's loaded.
All right. That was Ian Andrew. That's his name. Ian? I-A-I-N. Jan.
I-A-I-A-I-N? Ian.
Yeah. Jan.
Ian. Oh, Ian, don't you know.
It says, people can find me on Instagram, I-A-I-N, Andrew Music.
Cool.
Or just search Ian Andrew on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff.
Right.
That one, it's a good one to start with, like, our final, what is this, fourth to last episode now? This one plus three others?
Yeah. Our slide into oblivion.
Yeah. And this, you know, we were talking about the late 90s musical last week.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy can help us write that because he seems to, like, have his shit together musically.
Yeah. We've been curating musicians for the last, I guess, decade. Gareth is really, he's the guy that should be doing all of the instrumentals, right? I'll reach out to him.
Although I was thinking about, like, because it's a late 90s musical, do you think it's entirely pop punk, or is it like, can we have like, it touches on all the late 90s musical tropes, like Christina Aguilera or like Eminem, you know, like, hi, right, my name is, like, can that be part of the musical?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, actually. So then, and like, then that's also every kind of, like, you know, the cliques in school, like, these are the kids that listen to hip hop. These are the punks. Yeah. These are the ones that like the Backstreet Boys.
Right. Boy so bands. Will Smith. Right.
So like, the protagonist, the main character, I guess that would be me and you. So our character, you're like the Eminem and I'm the Tom DeLonge. Mm-hmm. So your character has some rap ballads.
Yeah.
Mine is all pop punk.
Right.
Yeah. Then we got some Christina Aguilera, some Backstreet Boys, some, yeah, what else, Slipknot,
Porn. Silverchair, Freak on a Prodigy. Leash.
Yeah.
This should all be leading up to one day seeing Carson Daly outside. Holy shit. I heard his cousin saw Carson Daly once.
His cousin saw Carson Daly. See, that's the kind of good stuff that I'm excited about peppering that in. Growing up in the suburbs, nothing exciting ever happened. Like, I feel like now that I've lived in New York for a long time, I see celebrities a lot. But I remember when I first moved here, I like saw someone on the street, and it was like a guy that was on one season of Real World, and I emailed all of my friends.
Which guy?
I forget now. It was
Puck.
His name was Steven. Puck would be famous enough that I'd still be interested.
They don't make Real World anymore, right?
I don't think so.
I think it just, like, Real World and Road Rules stopped, and then they just started making The Challenge, which is old versions of those people playing games.
Right. Yeah. The old cast going against each other.
But I would assume they would need to, like, still keep those shows up to feed into the challenge, but I guess not.
You would think so. I guess they're like, we're okay with these people being 40 and 50 years old, which is weird because that's not the MTV ethos. That's not their vibe.
Yeah. Remember Real World Seattle, where some guy slapped a female housemate and then got kicked off the show?
God. Yes, kind of. That's insane.
Back then, reality shows were so new. It was just like, these guys live in a house, and that's fine. That's enough for
right,
now.
Right, that's all.
Yeah, we don't need to no think contest. Of a gimmick yet.
Imagine if seven people hung out. Isn't that insane?
Like a dating show? No, they're just sort of talking.
They'll be roommates.
Yeah, and then
I feel like in later seasons of The Real World, too, they like vaguely gave them a job. Like,
right, you have to like in Hawaii, they like worked at a restaurant. It's like, all right, sometimes they'll be at this restaurant, but mostly not.
Mostly not. They definitely don't care about they're not getting fired, right?
Yeah, they can't. They can't get fired because they're probably also getting paid to be on the show.
Yeah. I also remember thinking how sick the Real World house was. And now thinking about it, like, everyone was sharing a room.
Yeah, so there were like four to seven people in a single room.
Yeah. It sounds kind of rough.
And then, like, the night vision.
I guess that's
like,
college, though.
Of people, like, hooking up. Just, like, you can see the bed moving, but, like, we don't know what's going on. But they have to wear microphones.
Yeah. Man, that was the hottest shit when I was 14.
This is all fodder for the musical.
That's right. So you're in now.
Yeah, now I'm, like, the vision is starting to get clearer and clearer. And the idea of, like, parodying popular songs from 1997 to 1999 is pretty good.
Yeah, that's the vision right there. That's the goal.
Yeah, it's Can't Hardly Wait-esque, only that one just took place in the 90s and was made in the 90s.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. It's a musical Can't Hardly Wait. What a great
Sold.
Movie that was. We should watch that for research for sure.
Somebody told me that they recently rewatched it, and it was like pretty awesome for like the first half, and then it starts to get pretty dated and bad. Mm. Yeah, I can't quite remember why.
I'm not trying to remember what happened. I can't remember anything from the movie except that Seth Green is wearing like goggles.
Yeah, he's locked in a bathroom.
Okay, he gets locked in a bathroom. He ends up hooking up with whoever they're in the bathroom with.
Yeah.
Is everyone like trying to get laid this last night at the party? Or is that American there Pie? There is a...
Yeah, that's sort of every movie that was made in the 90s. But I think that one, Can't Hardly Wait, is like a graduation party and Ethan Embry is like trying to finally talk to Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, and he has a letter. He's got a letter for her.
To give her, yeah, that's right.
That movie made every hopeless guy write a letter. I had letters too. And right. It's like, you have no personality or skills, you're not cool, you have acne, so, but like one thing that I had, I could write a letter.
I could That's a good song.
Say all this stuff. Yeah. It's really true. It's just about being self-aware about everybody in high school.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the big lesson to take away is.
Maybe also joke around once? Yeah, we also joked around once where it was like, kind of like in the pop-punk version of the song, it's like, the flavor of the week, the boyfriend doesn't appreciate the girl, but like in reality, it's like, yeah, the cheerleader should be with the captain of the football team. Like, who are you, right. Fucking freako nerd loser? Like,
well, I'm just a guy that's obsessed with you. So you should be with
me. He actually does listen to me and he does love me.
Really?
Yeah. We're both really hot too.
Yeah. By the way, you don't know me at all.
No, I guess not. So when
I've
you
never
say
spoken
he don't
to you.
Know anything about me, no, you don't know anything about me.
We talk on the phone for 5 hours every night.
Shit, I didn't know that. You're Nintendo. I wrote you a letter.
I thought I could just kind of like poke at a raw nerve. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're awesome. And we're going to have like a great long relationship.
Shit. Yeah, I think the thesis is that it doesn't matter and you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like we're the heroes of the story just because we're the nerds, but it turns out that the heroes were the hot people all along.
They were right. Or it's, yeah, I guess it's like that was their time and your time can come later. So
do have that.
You don't have to be the star.
I do have that theory that you can only be cool for 10 years. So it's like you're going to do it in high school, but then you could be like the... Was it the Jerry O'Connell character that like comes back and he's like still hanging out with high schoolers?
Yeah.
It's like, wasted your cool years in high school, or like you're a loser in high school and college and then you become successful afterwards. But like everybody has this 10-year window.
Totally. Mine absolutely happened. 25 to 35. But it was a good run.
That's a great run. That's a good window to peak.
Yeah. I think that worked.
Yeah.
It worked great for me.
All right, but for now, we still got questions to answer. This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web, hosted, past tense, by us. I'm Amir.
That's right. I'm Jake. Not for much longer.
Speaking of 10-year anniversary, somebody posted on our Reddit that One Almond came out exactly 10 years ago today, as of recording. Yeah.
Hope you got that domain on auto-renew, bud.
Yeah, it's still up there, onealmond.com. I've paid probably $90 for that. $9 a year for a decade.
Yeah, someone's going to buy it off us for $1 billion someday.
Okay, here's a random ass question I found. And I say random ass, not lightly. Have you seen the Knives Out movies?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a lady we'll call Danielle Craig. And it'll make sense when you get there.
Okay.
Hey guys, I love the Knives Out movies, and I saw the original in theaters and watched it 4 or 5 more times before the sequel came out, and I've seen Glass Onion at least 3 times now, and I think they're perfect movies, super well written, funny, and well developed characters. My boyfriend, however, has a big problem with them. He argues that Daniel Craig's accent is in poor taste. Specifically, disrespectful and derogatory to Southerners who get made fun of their accents in real life. At first, I was a little hurt that my partner would shit on something I liked so much, but I understand now he has a legit objection. I think the accent was done in good fun, and nothing about Benoit Blanc's character is particularly demeaning. towards the accent. As an actor, I think Daniel Craig should be allowed to make those decisions, but my boyfriend has come around to admitting that the movies are well written, and I think he does have a point that use of the accents can be harmful. I know none of you are from the South, so do you have any insight as for this particular instance, but I'm curious whether you think Knives Out would be better off without Daniel Craig's Foghorn Leghorn-esque accent.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
So did you watch both Knives Outs?
I watched both, yes. I liked the first one. I thought the second one was god-awful. I thought it
was... And were you offended by the accent? Or
Tryhard has been kind of like a shittier rehashing of the same thing. Mm. Anyway, that said, I did not have a problem with Daniel Craig's accent. I can understand... I wouldn't tell someone they couldn't be offended by it, but I also think that, like, using the context of the movie, he's kind of like the hero of it, and I don't think it like casts anybody in a negative light. I don't know. It's like, what do you want then? Do you want like either an authentically Southern person doing that role, or do you want Daniel Craig to not play a character? It seems weird to me that like movies should have characters in them, and I like hearing accents. And I can understand if you're doing it in an offensive way and like you're, you know, playing him as like a dumb hillbilly or something. Maybe that's more offensive. But
Is he dumb in the movie?
Honestly, even then. No, he's incredibly smart in the movie.
So what's the beef? The accent is done in a loving way, it seems.
Yeah. I think that it's good for actors to be able to make choices, and I like hearing different accents in movies.
Have you ever been offended?
Yeah, once or twice. Somebody called me the K word in college, and that was offensive.
Yeah, that's as direct as it gets. It's not like I heard an accent or I saw somebody or I read this thing. It's like someone looked at you and used a derogatory
term. They used a
term.
Slur. Yeah. And I said, you can't say that.
You mean knucklehead, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. So I guess that was – I mean, yeah, sure, I get offended from time to time.
But this is like an extreme, like seemingly overreaction. Like they're a guy is using an accent that you have. Like imagine like me watching Don't Mess with the Zohan hearing an Israeli accent and getting offended, or you watching Get Out and then they make fun of white people from Connecticut or something like that. Were you offended by that?
Right. Yeah. It has the energy of somebody being like reverse sexism is a bigger issue. It's like. I can understand some kind of like some representation stuff and some offensive accents and like some casting choices are really dumb. Like when they cast what's her name? Emma Stone to play like a Pacific Islander or something. Like yes. But by and large, I think that movies and TV, it feels like actors being able to use accents should be in play.
Yeah. So overall, I would say, I would imagine if you have a Southern accent, maybe you're already predisposed to being offended by people using Southern accents in things.
Right. But it's kind of like, I think it'd be kind of, I don't know. I guess I don't have like that unique of an accent, but I would maybe think that it'd be fun for me to like hear. If Daniel Craig was doing a Connecticut accent, I'd think that was cool. I'd be like, wow, he's pretending to be from Connecticut. Look at him not saying the T in mountain.
That's all it is.
Kinda.
Mountain.
Yeah.
Jesus, you're so offended.
Yeah, that's all that it is. That's all that it is. It's my fucking home state, you asshole. That's all that it is.
Connecticut. You don't say any of the T's in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah. All right. So the specific question was, Knives Out would be better off without Daniel Craig's Foghorn Leghorn accent. Yay or nay?
I don't think it would be better off. And you know, that's with the caveat that I hated the second movie.
Yeah.
But I like Daniel Craig and I thought he did a great job.
All right, let's take a break. Thank some sponsors. Come back and answer more questions after these.
Okay.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's more fitness, of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% ooh. Off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little bit of fire.
I do not. Doth you?
I think I talked about this once. I guess I can give an update on my trying to breathe through my nose journey.
Yes, the saga.
Yes, it is an epic tale of highs and lows.
Right. An Iliad, a poem of sorts.
Yeah. So I've been hearing more and more through both Avital and Instagram posts that corroborate this mm-hmm. story that breathing through your nose is just healthier.
Right.
Like mouth breathing, of course it looks visually stupid. Nobody wants to just sit there with their mouth agape while they're doing anything. But it's also, I guess, better oxygen you're getting through your nose, better for your structure, better for your health overall.
I heard it's also kind of, or at least my dentist said it was bad for your teeth to be
bad for your gums
while you're sleeping. Yeah. Okay.
So the first step is just trying to keep your mouth closed at when you're awake. That's like when I can mm-hmm. literally be awake to control it. So when I find myself just in my car, mouth open, I'll mm-hmm. close it and try to train myself to breathe through my nose. Even though I'm convinced my nasal passage is narrow. But then the second step is to try to train yourself to do it while you sleep. I've never been a mouth closed while sleeping guy.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So the first step I did was nasal strips, which wide, like you put it on your nose and then it opens up and widens your nasal passages while you're asleep.
How?
It's like it's like has little metal in it that's meant to be flat. So that when you push it in to stick to your nose, it like tries to get back to this position, even though it's like now stuck to your nose. So it's like stuck to your nose.
Interesting.
And it's opening it, trying to get back to flat, but it's glued to your nostrils.
I see. That's cool.
And then the second thing, which I don't know how healthy slash good, so I'm not fully recommending, though I've tried it, is now mouth tape.
You've tried the mouth tape? You were worried you were going to die.
Correct. I was worried I was going to die, so I tried it just as I was going to sleep one day. And turns out, like, if I'm actually going to die, I just open my, like, the tape is not so, like, hard that it's creeping my mouth shut. Like, over the course of the night, right. I'll just finally, like, slam my mouth open. The tape is no match. The tape is no match for my desire to breathe through my mouth.
But you're spending like half the night probably breathing through the nose.
Yeah, probably a little less.
Are you sleeping better?
Well, what I've been trying to do is like I fall asleep without it on so that I don't have the stress of like wearing it while I'm trying to sleep. And then when Avital goes to sleep, which is invariably after me, she'll be like, okay, I'm falling asleep. I'm like, all right. So then in my half asleep state, I just like put it on and like pass out. I'm like barely awake throughout the whole process. And then when I wake up in the morning, it's off. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, where it came off or on, if I'm even breathing through my nose, because it also has a little slit over the mouth that I can still like slightly breathe in case of emergency.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So it's a real baby step towards my journey of being a mouth closed sleeper.
Yeah. Right. Well, that is interesting, though.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
If anyone has made a full transition, please let me know. It seems like it's a really hard thing to train yourself not to do.
Yeah. Is the idea that at the end of this that you're, you know, nose breathing in your sleep on your own, or are you training yourself to not crack through the tape? Are you?
I think you go to bed with nothing? Yeah. I'm hoping, yeah, that I go to bed with nothing, but I think it's still beneficial for people who do it naturally because I guess it like ensures that you're only breathing through your nose, which I guess is better rest. I don't know.
Now I'm curious too, like if this is just like getting older and we never really thought about any of this stuff, because like back in the day, it was just brushing your teeth and you're trying to remember to floss and like that was it. You go to bed. But now I've got the floss, the water pick, the toothbrush, the face wash, the serum, the lotion,
yeah,
the eye mask. It's like, it's just too much. I would love to get back to the place where you just don't have to really think about doing anything before bed.
I think that's so aging. Nice. I think that's age. Yeah. Like when you're 12, you can eat fast food and it just, your body's like, this is fine. I'm still growing and making shit. And then like at a certain point, your body's slowly dying. And you're like, okay, I have to treat food like healthy energy source and not just eat whatever tastes good.
Yeah.
I have to maximize sleep and energy.
Sometimes I feel tired enough that I don't need my eye mask. So I've been going to bed without it. I think I could train myself out of the eye mask. I guess I can't train myself out of flossing because that's a good habit.
Yeah, you want to keep your teeth in your mouth as long as possible. Are you still not drinking alcohol? Is that still happening?
Yeah, not drinking alcohol.
Dry, sober.
Yeah, I actually went to Jill's cousin's bar mitzvah this weekend. And I know it doesn't really sound like that's a hard place to not drink, but I mean, family events, I think people generally like to drink, but they also had Basil Hayden's behind the bar, which is one of my favorite whiskeys, and I refrained, and it was still a lovely time, and the next day I felt great.
What was the theme?
It was like sports heavy.
Yeah.
There was like the... Dude, tell you what, I don't. Maybe this happened for you in LA, because there's like more cash to splash around in that area. But like our bar mitzvahs were like not very extravagant affairs. This thing was like nicer than my wedding, probably.
It wasn't just at a banquet hall or restaurant.
Oh no, there was valet. You got there, the kids had their own room, and then the adults had like a buffet with cuisine from all over the world, sushi, Chinese, Mexican, Italy.
Wow.
And that, and I was like wandering around. I was like, this is like the nicest bar mitzvah I'd ever been to. And then I realized that that was only the cocktail hour. Then they opened the doors to the big hall. Some of the best food I had ever had. They like gave everybody in the family had like a WWE style entrance with like everyone going insane.
Does that include you?
The party favors? No, God, thank God. The party favors that they threw out were like authentic NBA jerseys.
Wow. Which one did you get?
I tried to get a LeBron one, but somebody else caught it and I didn't want it. And it was a 13-year-old, so I didn't want to make the scene.
This is why you got to get hammered so you can just fucking elbow teenagers for jerseys.
The saddest thing is I went home and I bought it on eBay because I liked
it
so much. Yeah.
Didn't I give you a LeBron jersey?
You did, but this one is really cool. I mean, I still have the other one too, but this one is, it's the blue rec one that just says Los Angeles in like cursive on it. James on the back. I'll send you a picture of it. Sick.
Yeah.
It'll be arriving. Yeah. It's so tight.
So where was the bar mitzvah? Was it like in Manhattan?
No, it was in New Jersey. So maybe like 30 minutes from Manhattan, northern New Jersey.
Wow.
Like on a golf course. It was very fucking nice.
Jesus, that's awesome.
Yeah. Also just so like the kids, I hadn't been to a bar mitzvah, I don't think, since like my little brother's bar mitzvah.
Right.
So
were they still playing the same games? Were they doing the Macarena?
They played Coke and Pepsi. Played Coke and Pepsi. Yeah.
Wow.
That was the highlight. That was like the last thing they did was play, like, all right, we're clearing the floor. Like, we're playing Coke and Pepsi. I believe the winner got something.
$25,000 cash.
Yeah. It was amazing. Some things really are the exact same. They still had, the DJ and three like backup dancers to get the party going.
The girls are all 5'7", the boys were all 4'11".
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Do you see a group of cool boys, untucked shirts, running around?
Yeah, all so sweaty, like all the boys dancing together, all the girls off to the side. And then the funniest thing is when I went to the bathroom, I saw some of the bad kids out in the hall doing something. And when I came, they just looked fucking guilty.
I used to be you, and now I don't drink so that I sleep better. Do you guys have a water pick? Yeah.
Did you? They closed the sushi bar, and I was looking for some. Yeah.
A 12-year-old really kicks you in the shins. Ah!
Hey, come on. I like the California roll is all.
Oh, come on. I'll buy you kids drugs. My old band used to do it for me.
Yeah. I'm not drinking. It doesn't mean you don't have to.
A flask. You get arrested.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we don't really drink. The cool kids now just are into books and poetry.
Yeah, the cool kids are into not drinking. They're into the same stuff you are. We're mature.
We're into surfing.
Then there were some kids that were just on their phones too. And I was like, damn, that's a weird thing. I never had to deal with that.
Right. I guess we never had any distractions. Once you leave the house, it's just like you can't look at anything.
Yeah. But I was pretty impressed by it. Like the kids in the hallway were on their phones, but the ones in the bar mitzvah, no phones. More adults than kids.
Yeah.
Also funny that like I feel like at a wedding it's kind of sad to be like sitting at a table and just looking at the dance floor. But the bar mitzvah, there's really nothing else to do. I danced a bit, but the floor is really dominated by 13-year-olds playing weird games. So you kind of do just have to watch. You're just a bystander.
You and Jill should have done Coke and Pepsi. Just fucking sprint down using your long legs to beat everybody.
She basically did try. She tried to play with her dad. She's 7 months pregnant. They did one round and like she was supposed to run towards him and I just saw all of these kids like bumping into her and I was like, no, this can't happen. This cannot happen.
So then you played with her dad.
Yeah, then me and her dad won.
Do you think you could have beaten those kids? Like, are they like, are we gotten to a point where 13-year-olds can run faster than us?
I think I could have. I think I can outrun them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're not tall. They're not quite tall yet.
Yeah, but they also, playing Coke and Pepsi, do you remember the rules? Because it's Coke, you run to one side, Pepsi, you run to the other.
Yeah.
Sprite, you meet in the middle, and yeah. Dr. Pepper, I believe is, you know, a false, like you can't start or nip you, you're out.
We played Pepsi 7-Up and there was no fourth beverage.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you, Pepsi 7-Up, you just run to one side or the other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did Coca Pepsi, and I think it was either 7-Up or Dr. Pepper is like a, it's like a false start. So like you're not supposed to run, but if you start to, you stop, you're out.
Simon Says style.
Yeah. The amount of kids that got by that, I was floored. I was like, you have to listen. You have to listen. You obviously don't care about winning.
You scolding a 12-year-old? Listen, do you want it or
that
not?
Jersey. Give me the LeBron jersey.
Because I tell you, the king wouldn't appreciate your lack of discipline, really. Yeah. Do they have plastic hats and sunglasses and tchotchkes on the dance floor, too?
They had a photo booth. They had some of those, like, glow-in-the-dark sticks. Light things.
Yeah.
But, no, like, they gave this dude, like, cold air blast, like foam gun at the wow. at the stage. They had pyrotechnics behind him. It wasn't like the, hey, we're tossing out inflatable guitars like at my bar mitzvah. It was legit.
And then the music selection, was it like modern songs like Nicki Minaj and Drake and whatever, or is it still like jock jams from the 90s? Like,
that was,
y'all
it
ready
was still
for this?
Jock jams
do,
from
do,
the
do,
90s do. It, or like jock jams maybe from like 10 years ago, like Apple Bottom Jeans came on and like everybody went ham for it.
Even though that song is older than the 13-year-olds there.
Yeah, but the kids liked it and the adults liked it. And there were a lot of songs like that. Like they played Taylor Swift. I think the last few songs they played, I didn't recognize. And Jill told me they were from TikTok and the kids all danced to that. But I mean, for the most part, it was kind of like wedding music. The hits for everyone.
Right. Whoop, There It Is. Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I haven't been to a bot. I guess my nieces had bat mitzvahs, but that was still years and years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun vibe. We should probably start going to more. Yeah, we should start going to more bar mitzvahs.
For research at the very least.
Yeah, I don't know for what project, but just for our own personal research, our own personal gain.
All right, let's take another break. Thanks some sponsors and answer more questions after these massages.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, That's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yo.
As we wind down our show, I figure it's time to answer some classic questions. Not that we've answered this one specifically before, but it's a style of question we get a lot that I usually don't answer. But you know what? Since it's towards the end of our run, why don't we try to give this guy some classic breakup advice?
Oh, all right. My bread and butter.
Exactly. We'll call this guy Brendan Butter.
Nice.
In July of last year, I got into my first relationship, which was great and beautiful, and I had an incredible time with her. We started dating in Boston, but then moved back to our home in the UK, long distance. Over the last 3 months or so, life got really tough for me, which resulted in a very difficult January, which led me to breaking up with her. It was messy, and it went about as poorly, to be completely honest, as possible, keeping it going for weeks too long. Needless to say, I'm feeling pretty dreadful, and I need some advice to help me get through this time. I've been listening to If I Were You for the millionth time to get through this breakup, but man, it's tough. Hopefully you get around to this.
Well, the first thing I can say to this is that you have already done the hardest part. The hardest part is breaking up, getting all that stuff out there, hurting someone never feels good. And second part, still not great, but the second part is healing and it just takes time.
Yeah.
So try not to be so hard on yourself.
The hardest part is probably like psyching yourself up and thinking about how you're going to do it. Like, should I do this? All right. Then it's like an overwhelming, gnawing feeling. You're like, now I have to do it. When am I going to do it? Did the other person see it coming at all?
Yeah. The worst part was always after I decided I needed to, because I'd always be like, you know, waffling. And then once I decide that I need to, that time in between knowing that you need to and actually doing it, because you're like, when? It's never a good time. Oh, she's got a test coming up. I can't do it now. Oh, she's upset about having this fight with her mom. I can't do it now. But what am I going to do? Break up with her when she's in a good mood? That's fucking cruel. So you never really know what to do. But then it's cathartic. At least for me, it was cathartic once you finally do get to do it. But then you have to live with the fact that you hurt somebody. So like we said, not easy, but I do think you're through the worst part. And I think you can only make it worse on yourself if you start to second guess yourself, start to be like, I should have done it a different way. The point is, it's really hard. You were able to do it. Congratulations. And now you're just resetting for the next phase of your life.
Right. And the best way is one, time, like waiting, and two, like maybe finding somebody else eventually to take your feelings from that person to the next one.
Yeah. And reconnect with your friends, your family, people that were there for you before your relationship, things that brought you joy before then, because chances are they'll bring you joy again.
Right. And also lean into the things that you can do now that you're a singles man. So if there's anything that you wanted to do but didn't have the time to do because you were in a relationship, now you can do it. So you can lean into that stuff.
I'll also tell you, really, really basic, but music. Music, I feel like there were a lot of breakup songs that I had that would get me just like feeling amped and hopeful for the future.
Yeah. Do you like listening to happy songs when you're sad, or do you like just like, let me wallow in this sadness and try to cry it out, reach rock bottom?
The best song to listen to when you're feeling any type of way is Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi, because it's kind of sad but emotional.
Or you can listen to the opening theme song to this podcast, which is dreary Irish sea shanty. I mean, this guy's from the UK. He gets it.
Right, right. Yeah, you know.
But yeah, if this was also you kept it going for weeks too long. Now that that part is hopefully behind you, it's all uphill from here.
Exactly.
Also, the weather's going to get better, which should help. Nobody's, it's hard to get happy when it's cold and gray out.
It's true. Having a difficult January seems like a thing that a lot of people have difficulty with. So at least know that you're not alone.
You know, it's a great song is Long December. It's talking about songs and
being
sad during the winter.
And that one's got a hopeful fucking solo at the end. And it ends with a classic Adam Duritz. We should definitely include that in our musical.
Yeah, when did Long December come out? Long December.
And probably came out in like the mid-90s, right?
Yeah. Maybe this year will be better than the last. Yeah, Counting Crows was like 94-ish. Long December, 96. All right.
Oh, that's in play. That's in play.
Early, but often.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to music. Wait a while. Do some fun things, and you'll get over it sooner or later. Nobody's been sad about a breakup forever, right?
Right. Right.
First, right? A forever sadness?
I don't think so.
Like, I'm 40 and I'm still sad about the breakup from when I was 19.
Yeah, that would actually be kind of fucked up.
It's messed up, man. That shouldn't happen. Did you try listening to Long December yet?
At the very least, Pursuit of Happiness.
All right. Feel better. Let us know how it goes. Give us a follow-up up to how happy you are in a week or two.
Best April ever.
Also, long distance makes it easier, too. You won't see this person. Seems like she lives thousands of miles away.
Yeah. I think that is helpful. Focus on the things that are nearby.
All right, that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for watching, if you're watching. Thanks for submitting your theme songs, your questions. Only a few episodes left, so send them on down to ifireyoushow@gmail.com.
That's right. Send them while you can.
And we're still making videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA, of course.
Ja, that's right.
And I'm still doing my taxes. If anyone has advice on that, just going through the numbers and trying to crunch all the income v expenses. Maybe that could be our next podcast. I don't know.
Advice podcast. I think we get worse at our taxes every year,
which is hard to imagine because we're supposed to be getting wiser with age.
Right. No, it's worse and worse every year.
I think the trick is to stay on top of it. But as soon as you do your taxes, the last thing you want to do is look at them for another year.
Yeah, it's all about that estimated payment, that estimated quarterly payment.
Call your dad. Let's get him on the horn. I mean, what percentage of people are audited? Sam would know.
Yeah, he might.
It's got to be under 1%. Anyway, okay, let's listen to that theme song again by Ian. Am I overthinking it?
Ian. Ian.
Yeah. Jan, Ian, Andrew from Dublin. Yeah. And we'll be back.
Thank you.
Still next week. I think in person, too.
Oh, that's right. Right here in New York, baby.
That's right. I'll see you soon.
Later.
I need advice. I don't know who I am tonight. Give me something to think about on this long drive. Is it supposed to feel this empty all the fucking time? How do I get this off of my mind? What should I do about this thing I'm going through? I can always count on you to tell the truth. All these difficult things feel so much easier with you. I just wanna know what you would do. if I were you, if I were you.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.